Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
Joining us now on the phone, Eric Koo, the award-winning Singapore film director. Eric, it is so great to have you on with us today. Welcome to Weekend Mornings.
Hey, morning, Glenn. Morning, Neil. Thanks for having me on board.
Well, and first off, I have to say happy birthday to you, because this is your birthday year as well. You're the same age as Singapore.
I'm the same age as Singapore, yeah. I'll never forget my age.
You're actually slightly older than Singapore, but we won't go there.
I feel so ancient. Oh, man.
Well, your birthday was in March, but you know what? This will be the year of celebrating your birthday. How's that?
Thank you.
You know, Eric.
But the great thing is, you know, it's also the 25th anniversary of my company, Tawei Films. You know, and you know, it's really great that my first feature, Meat Pork Man, also 25 years old, will be screened on Netflix.
And we are looking forward to that. You know, Netflix has now progressively rolled out over 100 Singaporean-made films.
Extremely wonderful. It's so good.
And TV shows and everything, all for this National Day weekend. So we can catch your projects on Netflix. And, you know, because of your 25 years of chronicling Singapore in film, we really wanted to have you on the show today to ask you, as we're asking our other guests, you know, where do you see Singapore today in the film industry, specifically for you? And where do you think it should be going or needs to go as we go into the next 55 years? It's a big topic, but how can you break that down for us?
Well, you know, when I started off, you know, it was very lonely because I was about the only filmmaker, you know, in the scene. And through the years, it's wonderful with the Singapore Film Commission, you know, supporting local filmmakers, that what we have now, I feel, are very, very strong, you know, individualistic author filmmakers, and also some very accessible commercial filmmakers. And, you know, and I think that's wonderful because during National Day now, everybody can watch, you know, a whole array of Singaporean cinema that is very diverse. So, you know, I think, unfortunately, cinema for independent films, it will be over. So now, for independent filmmakers, it's wonderful to have these OTT platforms to move forward with, you know, different types of films. I mean, if we look at television these days, I mean, one of my favorite shows that I've seen is Chernobyl on HBO.
Oh, brilliant show. It's a great series,
And if you look at the level of very strong narrative, it's coming where the box is more than on the big screen. I think you always have the big Marvel films and the movies. But even if you look at, let's say, with Mulan, right, COVID-19 has totally changed the world of cinema in a very, very fast way. And I think in the future, if people are given the opportunity to pay for something to watch, they'd much prefer to watch it at home.
Well, that's a very interesting question you raised there, Eric, because echoes of Martin Scorsese talking about how Marvel movies and the tentpole movies are increasingly dominating cinema and pushing independent movie makers out of the cinema altogether. And of course, streaming platforms come into that, don't they? Because, you know, it's like, are they a blessing or a curse? But you seem to be suggesting that streaming platforms like Netflix could end up saving independent cinema because giving them a new platform. Is that
fair?
You
know, the thing is, with Scorsese, you know, he would never have gotten the budget for his film, right, from a studio. No one would give him an excess of over $100 million to do The Irishman. But Netflix did it, right? And if you look at even that wonderful Mexican film,
Roma.
You know, just think about it, right? If it had gone straight theatrical, a lot of people would not have seen the film.
Yeah.
You know, and as filmmakers, you know, we ultimately all want to share our works with as big of a market as possible. And I think, you know, it's wonderful, like, even going back, like, even with my last two series, we've been collaborating with HBO Originals to do works that a lot of other people can see and get them straight to the U.S., you know. And I feel with the talent base that we have in Singapore, well, I mean, Singapore is a very small country. I mean, essentially, what, 5+ million and how many real Singaporeans? And then we've got diversity of language. But I feel with our talent, and if we were to go on these platforms, we'll be able to share our works, with a much bigger audience.
And we're talking with award-winning director Eric Koo, and 25 years now in the film business here. And it's so interesting that you talk about, for example, your relationship with HBO. But we also know Showtime, Amazon, Netflix, you know, all of these studios are now making money, making funds available to some unknown directors and some very well-known directors, and changing the face of how movies are made and the audiences that they're going to get. And, you know, when you look at some of the big blockbusters that are, you know, a couple hundred million dollars to make, while there is going to be that need for that, I think that it's a much more exciting time for more diversity to come into films that will get a wider audience. And for Singaporean filmmakers specifically, do you see them benefiting and being able to tap into some of those newer studios, the HBOs, the Amazons?
I mean, 100%. I mean, like, what about filmmakers? Chris Yeo, he did A Land and Imagine, that won the best prize at Locarno. And then he did a deal with Netflix. So the film is screened there, and it can be seen internationally. So, you know, it's great. And I feel, you know, for our younger author filmmakers and all that, these would be great platforms. I found that, okay, initially I started out on film, as in 35, 16 mil, and way back then it was really costly to shoot and originate on film. But when digital came about, right, I mean, you would see a lot more exciting filmmakers, let's say, from China, because they didn't have to spend so much, let's say, on their features, right, going to digital. And now with these new different sort of platforms, you know, I mean, I hate to say this, I mean, but sometimes, you know, people are always on the move, so they may even watch it on their phone. Right?
Sure, of course.
Okay, but at least they're still watching our films and hearing our stories.
But Eric, this brings up the question, you know, not just of access to money to make a film, but also the quality of what's being put out there. And talk to us a little bit about what you've seen in the evolution of the Singaporean filmmaker as storyteller. There have been a number of really great films over the years. It seems like the industry is really evolving and growing in a very positive way here. What's your perception?
You know, I'll tell you, because like we supported Royston Tan, Bu Jun Fong, these are really fine filmmakers. And when you look at Anthony Chen, Kirsten Tan, we have a lot actually coming out from this small little tiny island. But I would say that these films are sort of precious films. We're not sort of like commodity, big, you know, commercial films. I mean, okay, if we talk about a commercial filmmaker here, right, it'd be Jack Neo. And the accessibility he has with Singapore, Malaysia, it's wonderful. But even, let's say, if you look at China, the sensibility there is somewhat different in terms of humor. But I think if we can do our heartfelt, passionate films, these can resonate, and they can resonate also on these OTT platforms.
I admire your pragmatism there, Eric, because you do sometimes hear filmmakers say, no, it's got to be traditional, it's got to be in a darkened theatre, big screen, 35 mil, as you mentioned. Whereas you're saying, look, viewing habits change and we have to move with the times, whether it's, you know, silent movies to talkies, whether it's black and white to colour, or whether it's now, you know, mainstream cinema or independent cinema in the comfort of your own home. Are you suggesting, therefore, that it's on the onus of Singaporean filmmakers to move with the times and move towards more streaming platforms?
You have to. You see, and the thing is, as much as I love cinema, as much as I love being inside a darkened hall, but things are changing, times are changing, you know. And, I mean, Tarantino probably punched me in the face, but I made that leap, and I loved it, from film to digital. Because, you know, it's a lot faster and it's a lot cheaper, and really, you know, for me, it's all about being as effective as you can. And, you know, we can't delude ourselves of saying, okay, let's do a superhero film, you know, unless a Singaporean goes off to the West and they decide to finance him. But coming from Singapore, that's why I feel horror is still very important, because, you know, and I grew up on a whole diet of horror, because my mother would bring me as a little boy to see The Exorcist. And when you watch these films, right, they really think out of the box, because a lot of horror films, right, the budgets are really small.
Yeah.
Right? But if you look at, okay, what can make big time? I mean, seriously, like, you look at Sixth Sense, or when The Exorcist came out, the highest grossing film of the time, right? And I feel in this part of the world, we really believe in ghosts. And a lot of our horror, you know, then translates better, yeah? But that's just me being a horror junkie.
No, I think that's true. I mean, in my genre, literature genre, Mr. Midnight, The Ghost Stories, they've always been the biggest selling books in Singapore for the last 15 years. You look internationally, I think it's the Blumhouse Studio.
Yes, Jason Blum. I met him. And, you know, he makes movies that maybe cost $1 million, yep. and then the returns are $100 million.
Huge. I mean, like yeah. you say, $4-5 million budgets, and he turns around $100 million. So it can be done. And on that point of the streaming platforms, what I like, and this is bringing it back to your movies, is you have that, if you watch this, you may like that. And I was looking at your movies yeah. on Netflix yesterday, and I had 12 stories there. Right. And of course, straight away, it recommends me, Pac-Man, In the Room, even Kallang Roar, the movie that I know you produced. So that's the advantage that a Netflix platform has, isn't it? That if you like this, they will recommend you 10 other movies of that genre, which again opens it up for Singaporean filmmakers.
Yeah, and the beautiful thing also, right, is that it's got an Asian cinema to Western markets, to Europe. And you can watch, you know, like European films as well. So now I think a lot of audiences, they're sophisticated. They're willing to read subtitles. You know, and I think that's really wonderful what Netflix has been able to do. And, you know, eventually you're going to have Amazon coming in big time. You know, there's so many players.
Mm. We're speaking with Eric Khoo, the award-winning Singaporean film director. And Eric, let's look forward to you and look forward to Singapore. Obviously, we know that these streaming platforms are here to stay. What's going to be coming up for you as we get through COVID-19? And I know that many productions are stalled right now for all the obvious reasons. What are you hoping to achieve in the next, let's say, 12 to 24 months? Anything on the horizon?
You know, during Circuit Breaker and all that, we've been actually working creatively on new series, yeah?
Mm.
And, you know, hopefully we'll start shooting end of this year, and we'll have maybe 2 shows out by next year.
Can you give us a little more than that? Can you give us a
yeah, okay, okay, both of them deal with spirits.
Ooh, okay.
Okay, but... Okay, I'll tell you a little bit more about the other one. The other one, it's spirits and food.
Oh, perfect.
You know, Hungry Souls.
Yep.
As in the month that's approaching.
Yeah, Hungry Ghost is coming.
I produced a movie years ago called 881.
Right.
It's a musical, right? And it's about Gertie. So that'd be kind of nice to have music, you know, food and ghosts.
Was 881, that was Royston's film, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but we produced it for Royston.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're moving forward, and I'd like to bring things full circle, a little personal story. I just arrived in Singapore when 12 Stories came out, and of course,
okay.
12 Stories was the film that put modern Singapore cinema on the map. I believe it was the first Singaporean movie to be screened at the Cannes Film Festival,
yes,
is that correct?
It was, yeah, that's right.
And I was working for a woman who is the sister of Ko Boon Pin.
Oh my goodness.
Exactly, who is your lead actor and a bit of your muse. I know you've used him in several films.
He's excellent. Yeah.
So I saw this film, Eric, 12 Stories, in the cinema. You know, I didn't have any expectations, and I have to say it blew me away. I was living in a three-room flat in Topayu at the time, and it was the first most accurate depiction of heartland living that I'd seen on a Singaporean movie screen before. And, it kind of launched your career internationally. What are your memories now looking back at 12 Stories? Because that was the film that really launched you. I know you had Meepok Man, but 12 Stories was the Cannes Film Festival hit.
Yes, I have really good memories. And we shot it in 12 days. And actually, the reason why I wanted to shoot inside an apartment block was that I thought we could shoot every story within that block. But ultimately, we only had 3 locations to go to. And that saved a lot of time. So the first segment we shot was Jack Neo, Choe Nee Fung. Then it was a Ko Boon Pin section, where he plays Big Brother. Mm. And then it was the old lady with her adopted daughter. It was, I think, one of my most comfortable shoots because we shot it like 10-hour days. And we had basically, at the time it was still on 16mm, 2 cameras. But if the performances were good, right, I'd just do 1 take and have 2 talking heads. Because a lot of the actors that we used, right, were non-professionals. Mm. And you knew you were going to get them on the first take. So it was a very merry shoot. But I think for us, you know, being able to go to Cannes was incredible. And it won the Best Picture at the Hawaii Film Festival. Love that film. and Boon Pin, I tell you, he was amazing because I was building the character with him. So we spent a lot of time before filming drinking alcohol and talking about Big Brother's watching you.
Yeah, I have to say, Boone Pinn's performance in that movie just blew me away. Absolutely amazing.
Eric, I'd like to take you on just a slightly different tack for our last question to you. And that is, you know, in the 1950s and 60s, Singapore had such a vibrant film scene, movie-making scene.
Yeah,
the Shaw Brothers. And
Kathy Chris.
Of course, some of it was made in Malaysia. Some of it was made here.
Yes.
Are there any lessons or is there anything from that era of Singapore filmmaking that impacts or influences you or things that you think people should reinvigorate now that the Singapore film scene is evolving into its next phase?
Well, you know, I mean, I have to thank them for all the early horror films that I grew up on, you know. But I've always actually been fascinated by the story of the Shaw Brothers, and I'd like to do a film on them sometime.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah. Because they came from Shanghai.
Right.
Right. And basically, they were in Singapore, you know, with all these P. Romley movies. You know, and then ultimately, Run, around the 50s, he left for Hong Kong and then started the martial arts films there. But back in the 50s, I mean, we were really big. And they worked together a lot also with the Japanese, because during World War II, Singapore could only screen Japanese movies. So if you look at the Shaw Brothers, later on they were doing like all these one-armed swordsman films, but they were all inspired by the samurai movies. And they even had some Japanese DPs on their shoots.
Very
so it's an exciting period, and yeah, I mean, I'd love to cover it and just call it cinema.
Wow, that is a 10-part Netflix or HBO special, isn't it? That is a great...
And that's the beautiful thing, because with this platform, right, you can have as many episodes as you want. You can really do the story justice.
Eric Khoo, Singaporean film director, award winner, a producer. Thank you so much for being with us today. We wish you a happy National Day. And, of course, we hope that you'll come back and talk to us in the future as you get your projects coming.
And thank you for having me. Happy National Day.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.